you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter,
knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's clear.
Everyone loves you.
Reading from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Monday, May 1st, 2023. I am excited. I have a dear friend in the studio with me, and I think the last time I had him in, actually, I know the last time I had him in, it took up four morning programs. It was January 30th and the 31st. That was a Monday and Tuesday in January, and then the first Monday and Tuesday in February, February 6th and 7th. All four of those programs are archived. And I think when I introduced him on January 30th, I took up the first 6, 8, maybe 10 minutes. You know how I love to introduce our guests. So today, all I'm going to say about Dr. David Webb is that he's a family medicine physician in Illinois, serving in the Mahomet area currently and for many years. He's a father to four lovely daughters and a grandfather to 13 children. Any more grandchildren on the way?
Or I think that's it, Mark.
None in the hopper right now.
Okay.
A godly man that has modeled Christ to me and so many for many years. And I do have an extensive overview introduction on that January 30th program. It is archived at greatnewsradio.org. Also, WLUJ.org under the Mark and Friends tab. So I'm going to leave it at that because, Dr. Webb, this past Thursday you were in with the Pinnacle Group and you were sharing one of your favorite passages that God has put on your heart recently, that Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, about those five special imperatives. And we had four different programs about it, but I took notes again and it really captivated us all about thinking through how God has called us to be disciples of Jesus, mm-hmm. to be effective, to be His ambassadors. And then you touched on that concept for Christians. There's no such thing as retirement. We continue to walk in His ways, doing His will, flourishing according to His plan and purposes to our end days. But today I want to have you talk about this series of books that God has put on your heart, especially The Years Beyond, the latest book in this series. And we're going to touch on it maybe tomorrow and do some readings from it. But talk a little about this series that God inspired you to write some years ago, what's behind it, and the process, what He's taken you through.
Well, thank you, Mark. Yes, I'd be excited and more than happy to bring you alongside with me as I reflect on this journey. It's been that. You alluded to the fact that God was sort of behind us. And indeed, as I look back over the last maybe 6 years that this journey of writing these books has taken place, I am very aware that the beginning of it was way back beyond that, before that, where God was wishing to take some practical family, parent-child relationships and to formulate those into some principles of living that would be helpful to other people. And let me just, if you don't mind, take just a moment to take us back to sort of the beginning of this journey. I am, as you said, the father of four daughters. Mm-hmm. And being a medical doctor, I oftentimes would not be home in time for supper. And my wife, Judy, and I decided that what I would do would be put my daughters to bed every night. Mm. And so my privilege and my joy would be every evening I would put each daughter to bed and I would have a time where we could just talk, interact, and anything was acceptable. We could talk about their problems, their concerns, the things that are going on in their life, and we could do that in a context of, what would God have us do? What is the best way to approach this that would be pleasing to God? And so during this time, I began to relate to them on these subjects by telling them stories. I'd always tell them a story from the Word of God, but I would make up another story, and the story that I made up would be appropriate to whatever issue they were dealing with at the time. For instance, if they were having a problem relating to another child, I would devise a story that would place fictional characters into a relationship similar to what my daughter was experiencing, so that through that means we could talk about how to best deal with that problem or how to best negotiate a relationship issue. And so over the years, a series of stories developed centered around a fictitious family on the coast of Maine. And this was a family where there was a father. The mother had died after childbirth of the second child. There was a father and a daughter and a son, and then a grandfather entered the scene. And so through this family living in this community in Maine, I formulated a variety of stories that would speak to practical daily issues that my daughters were going through. Now, this continued throughout the raising of my daughters, and then after we had grandchildren, we have 13 of them, when they would come to visit at our house, I would bring up some of these stories, again, depending upon what issues they were going through. One of my grandsons was having difficulty learning to ride a two-wheel bicycle, for instance, and it was a struggle, and he was pushing back and being obstinate and stubborn about it, and his parents were very concerned and worried. And so one of the stories that I came up with in one of the books that I've written was about a young man who's learning to ride his two-wheelers without training wheels. And it's through that story that I was able to connect with my grandson, and it was objective, that it wasn't about him, so he could relate to it without getting emotionally involved. Mm. And with that, he was able to get through and learn to ride his bicycle. So that was an example. Well, after doing this for a long time, my daughters said, or several of them said, why don't you write these stories down? Now, I was somewhat reluctant. I hadn't ever thought that telling these stories would result in writing them down or to anything more than just relating as a dad or a grandfather to my children or grandchildren. But after thinking about it, praying about it, I decided to write them down. And so I wrote down, it turned out, about 50 of these stories. And after writing them down, again, I was encouraged to maybe put them in a form of a book. Well, I thought about this, and I chose 16 stories. And these stories were sort of stories that would be appropriate to children about the age of, oh, let's say 7 to 11, that age group. And I put it together in a book, and the book was called Rescue at the Dock. It was the very first book, and it was designed to speak to children of that age about some of the principles of life that they would be dealing with from a God-centered perspective, from a moral, ethical, Christian perspective. And they were just stories. There wasn't any comment in the book about the stories. They were just teaching through the stories. It was all foundationally structured around how do we live as men and women of God, even at age 10. And I found that you can sit and talk to somebody about you or me, but sometimes there's emotions that get in the way. And sometimes teaching comes better when you tell stories. Obviously, Jesus knew that. The parables are a great example of how he told stories that connected with people's lives, that instructed them about how to live as he designed us to live. So that was the theory behind this. I remind the listeners that this was an evolving situation. I had no idea that God was moving this direction. These were just dad or grandfather telling stories. I was fortunate to recruit a artist from Parkland who was able to illustrate the books with beautiful watercolors. Liza Winnett is her name. And she worked with me through the whole process, the first book and the next three as well.
And that was Parkland College right here in the greater Champaign-Urbana area?
Yes, yes. Okay. Yeah, it was really, again, as I look back on this journey, I see so many things that God had sort of orchestrated way beyond I understood that he had something in mind. So the first book came out, and that was about 4 years ago. and it was placed out for the public to purchase and read. And it was quite successful. I might add that what we decided to do, my wife and I, is any revenue from the books, she and I would double that revenue and be able to send it to a children's home that we support in Kenya so that those children could go to college and high school. In Kenya, you can't go to high school free. You have to pay for it. And so many of the Kenyan young people could not go to high school. Well, the money that we were able to retrieve from the first book, we were able to double and send to them. So that was a real privilege to do that. Well, after the first book, I wrote a second book. Again, the exact same theme, 16 stories. The children, however, the young man and his daughter and their friends within the community had aged a little bit, and so we're dealing with a level of about 11 to 14, 15 in that age group. And these, again, a series of stories that are appropriate to that age young person as they deal with the various things in their life that are challenging them, areas where God can make a difference in, areas where having a Christian perspective and ethic would allow them to act in a way that gets to know God as a person and God's desire for them as people. So we put 16 of these stories together, and the book is called Riding Bikes with Hands in the Air.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, these titles of these books are basically taken from one of the 16 stories in each of the volumes. And this particular one is sort of interesting because I used to say to my children that there's a certain technique for being able to ride bikes without hands. And the technique is that you keep your eyes focused on something very far away from you, such as focusing on Jesus, and pedaling really hard.
Hmm.
And the application in life is if you're going to be successful and serve God in the kingdom, you got to keep your eyes on him. And you got to pedal. You got to keep going. You got to keep active. So that was one of the stories that was used to illustrate that. I might also say parenthetically, Mark, that many of these stories were not just completely made up. A lot of them had to do with actual stories that happened in my life or in people's lives that I know of. Or some of the characters in these stories, and there's many of them. There's, of course, the nuclear family, the young woman, Violet, and Robert, her brother, and her father William, and also this grandfather, Cozy McIntosh. He's the grandfather. And he's fashioned after several things. He's fashioned after my own grandfather, who I dearly loved, and we had a wonderful relationship with, but also sort of fashioned at the type of man I want to be, or wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
The father I wanted to be, the grandfather I wanted to be. And also Jesus, because he imparts wisdom to his family, wisdom that comes from knowing things beyond the world, spiritual wisdom. So we have this grandfather, but we also have a community. We have a church. We have a doctor. We have a pastor. We have a pharmacist. We have friends, friends of all sorts. We have an African-American friend. We have an Asian friend. We have a friend who has some disabilities. There's all sorts of people involved in this community, very similar to what another child, my child, or somebody else's child, would be able to and must experience in their life. So the second book, Riding Bikes with Hands in Your Air, was designed for the slightly older child dealing with slightly more mature issues. And again, this was published or printed about 3 years ago, and Liza Winnett, the artist, also did beautiful watercolors for the book. Then there was a third book that was written, and once again, this book was designed to address the issues of the older aged young person.
And again, using the same characters as they grew up and experienced different life examples and stories.
Absolutely. These stories are sequential. These people in the story grow up, and they experience the same issues that we experience as we grow up. They live the sort of up and down life that all of us seem to have to live. And this third one is the young people at about age 14 through around 17, maybe a little later. And so, obviously, with the older age, then the issues that they're confronting become a little more complex, a little more deeper, a little more mature in a sense.
Mm.
And so the stories, again, taken from true life events, memories I have of people that I've known, will be depicted here in these stories. Let me perhaps give you an example. When my two youngest children were at an age of around 13 or 14, I took them for an overnight camping trip not too far from our house, and we set up a tent. And they slept, the two daughters slept in the tent, and there wasn't room in the tent, so I slept right outside the front of the tent, which pleased me because I felt like I could sort of be protective that way. Hmm. Well, early in the morning, I woke up with a shadow in front of the sun, in front of me, and this strange odor, and I looked up right into the face of a cow. And this is a true story, and I had to deal with the fact that the cow was there, and then my daughters were sort of freaking out as to what was going to happen, and so on and so forth. And through this, we were able to talk about fear, about what we do in unexpected situations that come up. So it became a story, a true story, which I was able to use to speak to my children and my grandchildren, and also put in the book. And so you'll find in the second book, the story of the cow. Well, that's a true story. And when we get to the fourth book, I will give you some other examples of how these true stories have come to life.
And I think tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, we'll have you read a story from one of the chapters, one that really God used in my life to give me greater insight or understanding. And I love that story. So that'll be on tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends.
Yeah. So we have these three books, and they're out on the market, and people are reading them, I think finding them useful to use with their children and grandchildren. But during this three-year period, I really feel, looking back on it, that God was having me write a fourth book. Now, this fourth book is unique. It is a little different than the first three, and I'll explain that in a minute. But I wrote this fourth book, which is, again, 16 stories, and these stories have to do with young adults, people age 17 or 18 up through 20, 21. And the stories, by nature, had to move into some difficult, challenging subjects, subjects that we are faced with even today. And we can talk a little bit later about those subjects, but at this point, just want to let the listener know that God was about a work at that time. He was having me write these stories, and frankly, Mark, I didn't know what to do with those stories. I told my wife several times, I'm going to write them, but I don't think I'm going to put them out there. I don't think I'm going to put them out for people to read. And looking back on it, I think there was a spirit of fear that I had. I think there was an opposition, a spiritual opposition that I was feeling because the stories and the implications for them in terms of how we as Christians should deal with these topics were so great that I really think that the world, the flesh, and Satan was pushing back on it, and there was some tremendous spiritual warfare. So I really didn't know what I was going to do with these stories, but I knew in my heart, in my spirit, that God would have me write this book. So eventually I did, and I put 16 stories into a printed book called The Years Beyond. And it might be useful at this point that if I just read the introduction, this is a series introduction that will appear in the front of this fourth book called The Years Beyond. And I think it'll give the reader, the listener, a little idea of what was behind the whole series and behind this last book. This is called the series introduction, and it's found within the first several pages of the fourth book called The Years Beyond. The Years Beyond is the fourth and final book in the bedtime stories of Cozy McIntosh in his seaside village. Each book in the series contains stories that invite the reader to live alongside the folks in Oyster Rake Bay Village. That's the village name that I gave to the New England village in Maine. To live alongside of them and to partake with them in their adventures and challenges. Each volume sequentially portrays the young people of the village progressing through their growing up years As the reader gets to know these wonderful people, they will undoubtedly find themselves identifying with them in some manner as these young villagers mature and develop. These stories, except for Book 4, were all told by me to my children and grandchildren. Book 4 is unique amongst the series and focuses on more serious topics, topics that emerge as Robert, Violet, and their friends become young adults. It is my deepest desire that you, the reader, enjoy and are edified by the lives of the people who dwell in this loving and dynamic coastal village.
Dr. Webb, we're going to have you back for tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, and as a way for you to understand a little better some of the topics that are covered in The Years Beyond, some of the chapters are about premarital intimacy, racial differentiation, sexual abuse, blended family issues, pride, peer acceptance, rape, homosexuality, pornography, marital unfaithfulness, depression and suicide, midlife crisis, drug and alcohol abuse, death and dying, healthy disillusionment, and Christianity, yes or no. And if you want to know more about these books, how to purchase copies for your friends, neighbors, loved ones, you can email Dr. Webb at dkwbook@gmail.com, dkwbook@gmail.com. And if you're driving to work or didn't get to write that down, just call the station and Karen or Joyce or our team can give you this email. Call us at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. So I hope you'll join us again tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it can be accessible anytime at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, wluj.org. And the four other programs where Dr. David Webb was interviewed are also archived at that Mark and Friends tab on January 30th and 31st of this year, and also February 6th and 7th. And those four programs were talking and dealing with Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, the importance of imperatives that God gives us in His words, five different imperatives to be faithful disciples, His ambassadors in this hurting world. So those also are archived along with today's program. So I hope you'll tune in again tomorrow and also use those links to listen to some of those prior programs. Dr. Webb, how about closing our time in prayer for those that are maybe struggling raising kids or grandkids, to those that feel like they've done a pretty good job, but they want to pray their children through that adulthood age and some of these topics maybe they're dealing with?
Lord, we do know, realize, and overjoy that you fashioned your marriage and family after your own heart and your own interaction and community. Lord, we are people, and we struggle sometimes with how to do that in a way that is honoring and pleasing and effective. God, as a man who's raised children, I understand that some of the difficulties. So I know that there are listeners who now are thinking about their family and their relationships. And Lord, I pray that you would speak deeply to their hearts to let them know that you are with them. And you will provide for them the wisdom, the counsel, the perseverance, and the endurance, and that you would bring victory. Lord, I thank you in advance for how you're doing to do that, and we lift it up in the name of Jesus and the power of your Spirit. Amen.